Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Hackers and HackZen podcast. You're about to join Erica, Jax, and John for an inclusive cybersecurity conversation designed to educate and break the stereotypes of cybersecurity professionals while providing life hacks on how to handle burnout, networking, and goal setting. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Super excited because the guest today is a dear friend of John and mine. We are actually missing Erica today. She is out having a wonderful time at a bachelorette party, but we'll be back next week for our show. But today we have Kim Nguyen, and she is amazing. She is in college right now, about to graduate. She is a full stack DevOps engineer as well as AWS certified developer and a researcher, and she is a teaching assistant at the City University of Seattle, and literally so much more. But I will have her share a little bit more about her journey instead of going fully into her bio. But the reason that we specifically wanted Kim on the show today is because of the topic. We're talking about college, then what? And that is a really a deciding factor for a lot of kids that are especially in the world of cyber, studying cyber in a degree that it maybe is really technical, maybe it's not. And then what is that career going to look like? So we're going to really dive into that today with Kim. Kim is what you're like less than 3 months away from graduation, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I have until June and that'll be my last day. I better get a job and get out of school.
Yeah, this is something that you and I have actually personally talked about, is the whole job hustle, because it's all in this sector, it's really about who you know, but also your certifications. And you have really, you have been doing a lot of work on certifications lately. You've also kind of changed and tweaked your direction because of where you kind of wanted to go into the career sector when you get out of college. So I'm going to pass it over to you, Kim, because I would love for you to share a little bit more about your specific journey into how you got to where you're at right now, 3 months from graduating.
Hi, thank you again for the introduction. Everything is there. And for me, where I'm right now, like you said, there was a lot of change in the whole decision making throughout the whole process of the 2 years of my master's degree. So I remember when I started my degree, or before I started my degree, where I decided I'm going to go with computer science. The people I used to hang out with used to all doing machine learning, deep learning research. They're all in that area. So I thought, you know what? This is it. I love it. Everything they do. Well, I'm going for machine learning. And when I get into school, nothing I study was focused on that. And the more I do research on it, I realized that, hey, this is maybe not what I'm cut off for. It's a little too much math than I anticipated. And they all require about 10 years of experience. So I definitely don't have that for computer science. So I've got to make a rational decision, right? To choose one that would work out for me. So I looked into different ones. A lot of people hang out with me at that time were doing web development and software development. So I thought, hey, maybe this is something I would go for. But then I have to look around too, because who knows, maybe that's not my best options. So that's why I guess I opened the door for, say, cybersecurity and cloud computing, right? So that's where I started to try a lot of things. And right now, I started to get more into mobile. So I tried a little bit of everything. And at this point, I'm doing the stuff that 2 years ago, I thought I don't like at all, which is full stack. So yeah, and I'm super, super into cybersecurity and also cloud computing. I got 2 certs from AWS for cloud computing. And thank you. And my everyday work at the organization that I'm volunteering at, it's all using AWS. So that's something 2 years ago, I have no idea that I would go for. I didn't even understand what is the server is. So what is the, doesn't serverless even mean, or cloud even mean? So it's a lot of, yeah, it's a lot of try and error to finally make the decision that fits you and where you are. Yeah.
So that's quite a journey, right? From going from one thing to another, to finally figuring out and kind of almost being a little humble with yourself, right? Saying like, I didn't think I was going to like this, but turns out I do. Which I think most of us as students have come across that path at one point or another.
Yeah.
If not more than once. But with all that, with being excited about full stack and cyber and cloud now, that's kind of what it seems like your academic career has peaked at. Cyber and cloud are two huge, huge topics right now. And so is full stack. Full stack has always been around, but cyber and cloud have become like these big things that are all over the place. So now that you're coming into the next, 3 months of closing out your college journey for this part, what are your plans after you get done with college? Are you looking to get into cloud computing or full stack or cyber? What's the end goal and the dream plan that you have after college?
Thank you for that question. So after this, all this time I spent, 4 years of undergrads and then 2 years of grads with a little bit of a work experience in between, I'm ready to spend the whole year just doing hands-on experience, just get my hands dirty, I definitely want to have a job where I can practice everything that I have learned and I have been building up. And I guess what makes me special is I have the mix between cybersecurity and software development. So a lot of people don't see the connection between them, but I think, or people would go for either you are a cybersecurity specialist or you're going to be a developer, right? But along this way, I have realized that, hey, I don't really have to choose. Why don't I bring cybersecurity into software development and make it a better, more secure one? And that's what has been missing, right? And so it's actually what I'm doing right now with the team I'm working at. So while we're developing, always I'm the one who's able to point out, hey, how about this one? Is it the most secure way that we are doing? Why don't we do it this way? So for me, I feel like development is a little more into my cup of tea. So I would prefer to go the developer side, but I definitely still going to keep working on the cybersecurity side to keep embedding it into what I want to do. So yeah, hopefully I'll get a job in a company, which I have a list of dream companies, but I don't want to say it now. But mainly for me, it has to be the culture where I can be creative and I can propose my idea and, just learn a lot of things. So that's what I want to do. Get out, get my hands dirty, and practice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I can, tell the motivation in your voice too, that you're ready to get into the thick of it, which is awesome. That, you just want to go and get your hands dirty. You want to help out. You want to be part of the cause, around cyber, no matter what it is, right? As long as it pertains to your skill set, you want to do it. And I love that. Something that's big that you were talking about while answering the question was hands-on, and getting that on the job experience. However, cyber and just computer technology now is something, one of those things that you don't necessarily even have to be in the job or in the field to get the experience, at least the hands-on part, right? You can do labs, you can be a self-proclaimed developer and build your own apps. So just kind of like curious, how are you getting your hands-on experience right now? And then also, how are you illustrating that to potential employers?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I actually tried both, going from doing it by myself versus having the real working in a company. So before, because you have no experience, right? So nobody wants to hire you and nobody wants to have you even volunteer for them. So a lot of practicing by yourself. Yes, I did a lot of labs. Like for example, when I get into cybersecurity, it's a lot of try hack me. You have to find some way to practice. Otherwise, if you just keep reading the theory, no way you're going to remember. So just exploiting it by yourself and YouTube, a lot of YouTube, trying to build all kind of different projects. And you should elevate from it. So a lot of the time, YouTube give you like 2 hours tutorial where you build a super basic app. But what would make you different from other people is are you going to spend extra another 5 hours or so trying to do more things on your app, trying to learn more by yourself? And so that's what I did a lot of the time. So that's why people who know me impressed, and they know that whatever they would ask me to do, I would do it good. So bringing that attitude into the place I'm working right now, the organization that I'm helping. So that's how it helps. And I'm leading that team now. In the team, I'm not the most experienced one. All of them have years of real world experience in big tech company back in their country, but I'm still leading the team. I think it has a lot to do with the attitude of wanting to learn or not and being able to lead or not. I'm not saying my team, they don't have the ability to learn. They're super awesome. But sometimes it's not all about how many years of experience you have, but really if you are willing to spend that time and effort to, you know, figure it out by yourself.
Wow, you are like my favorite person, Kim. I'm being serious. I love it. You work for the Mentor Project you help us with our podcasts, all three of them now that we have. And you're absolutely right. Whenever there's a request of you, it's always done extremely well. And you always go above and beyond. And that is huge in any industry, not just in cyber. You're going to do extremely successful once you enter into the world. And honestly, anybody that is able to actually, who brings you on, they're the fortunate ones, they're the lucky ones. So you're already way ahead of light speed of people in your age group. So I'm excited to see what happens once you get out of college and really dive into it. I'm curious though, because you seem like a very much a go-getter and you're always planning ahead and you already kind of know the direction that you want to go with your career. Have you already started reaching out to recruiters or specific companies within your job search? And if so, how's that gone for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Perfect on the planning point. So I think this is one thing that students don't do enough, which is planning. So most people plan maybe like a year in advance, or perhaps I'm about to graduate next month. Okay, let me start right now. It doesn't work that way. So for me, I normally plan 2 to 5 years in advance, which raises a lot of eyebrows, but that's what I normally do because I have mixed backgrounds and I like flexible. So there's a lot of chances that new opportunities come up, right? So I need to be flexible. That's why I have a set of general goals that I want to achieve in the next couple of years. And then I will base on that to tweak around. If I actually started looking for a job, it probably from the very first day that I entered the degree. I have to make a decision first, which job title I'm going to look for. So that explains why I changed a lot of major. I changed a lot of focus to choose which one I'm going for, which job title. And then based on that, okay, choose one that is affordable for my situation. And then a lot of reaching out. I've been to several hiring events. However, that was too early way into my graduation. So they didn't want to hire me back then, which is fine. So at least I know when is the right time to apply. And about 6 months before graduation, I started to go crazy on building up my projects for my resume and the experience. Impress the employer. And this 3 months, it's the time where I'm going super crazy on data structure and algorithm, because apparently I need to pass them the online assessment and the coding interviews, right? So focus on the stuff that you needed to do. And also I did started to apply about 5 months before my graduation, because based on my research, that's about the good time. However, based on the results, I noticed that my resume wasn't very well done. So I didn't receive very good feedbacks or communication. So that's why I spent a lot of time fixing my resume too. And by the end of this month, I'm going to start pushing out a lot, because that'll be the exact perfect time. If anyone reached back to me, then by the time I graduate, that's it. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. You're already freaking on it. 3 to 5 year plan. I do the same thing. I have a 47 inch whiteboard, and I have all my short to long-term plans on here. Right now, I feel like sometimes, even though you've got a five-year plan, I want to ask if this is kind of what's happening with you. You've got your five-year plan, but you're less than 3 months away from a short-term plan. Do you notice that a lot of your energy, even though you have your long-term plan, is really focused into that, okay, these small micros to get you to where you need to be when you graduate?
Yeah, that's a lot of repetitive task every day. I have a list of things I need to do. It's always in front of me. It looks a little crazy, but it kind of looks like this. And it's like one third of it is everything I need to do every day to prepare for my job search. And it's definitely super exhausted. It's so tiring. I have one day per week, I just pass out. I just cannot do it anymore. You know, 15 hours at least each day, trying to balance between work and prepare for your graduation and your job search and everything else. That's a lot. And also, the point you mentioned earlier about how the employer respond, some of it is not really helpful. You know, a lot of the employers, they reach out and they're like, hey, I want to have an interview with you. And we schedule the time and everything is well and ready, and they never show up. So that it's really challenging for you mentally, because, you know, you're like so excited and you spend the time, you block out the time ready to interview, and then they just never show up. So, you know, if any employers listening to this, please don't do that anymore. We are serious when we apply. We're serious. Yeah.
So you've actually provided a couple of really good tips for the listeners, but I'd like to hear from you. One of the tips that you mentioned was the job title that you want to go after. And I want to also add to that. That's a very good point. Even for myself, when I left the military and came into the civilian world, the job title matters. But while you're looking at the job title, make sure that you look at the requirements in that job title and it fits with what you want to do. And if it's not clear, talk to the recruiter. But outside of that tip, the job title and how you, because I saw your whiteboard, just so the listeners know, she had it was a mini whiteboard, but it was still fairly big and it looked like micro writing all over it. So when she said she had tasks on there, she probably had 150 tasks. I think it was color coded as well.
Yes, it was color coded. Yes. Red gold puns.
So are there any other tips that you could provide, maybe two more tips to the listeners that have really helped you in your job search?
Yeah, so it depends on what you do, but whatever you do, go look for definitely the job requirement, what kind of technology they're looking for in your resume, and go for look as many as possible. And also look for the people who are working on that position already that you want to be, and search for their profile, their resume. What do they have in there? Is there anything you can borrow? Is there anything you can mimic to get into that particular position and build your projects based on that? And also have a list of companies you want to work for and rank the list appropriately. Let's say list A is your top one, list B, list C, and use that as your practice. So let's say list C and D is not that important, you know, you can get rejected, you don't mind. So go ahead and apply for those first, have your practice, and so test it out. So get used to the interview process. And once you feel like, okay, I'm kind of ready, move to the list B and A. So A is your top one. So save it and make sure it's one shot, it's a good one. So that's what I do. And I do also research on the profiles of the people who work in the companies and the teams that I like, to see what kind of stuff they put in there, what kind of personality that might show off from their profile, and also reach out to them just to see, hey, you know, if your team's looking for somebody, I'm into the culture of your company. So to see if they can refer you. So that's what you do. So yeah, research on the technologies and the companies and the people who already work there, the people who do the same position, and yeah, rank the list of the companies you like and have practice interviews as many as possible.
I just want to let you know that the things that you just said are actually extremely innovating, and the way how you are building it out is essentially you are saying create a framework and put attributes into that framework that you can copy from other things. So you're working smarter, not harder. And that's honestly a skill set that most, in my experience, graduate students develop just from being in academia. That's one of those things that, you know, when there's always the discussion of, oh, well, you don't need a degree to be in tech, or you don't need, you know, a college degree to do this or that, or whatever it is with computers. That sometimes is the case, but there is skill sets that you do get with going into academia. And what you just said is one of the key points of the things that you learn while you're in school, is you learn how to work smarter and not harder, and how to basically reuse things, kind of like a programmer, right? Where you're looking at like, okay, what are these job descriptions, or how are people doing this? Let me kind of copy what they're doing and then make it fit what I need it to do. So, you know, applause to you, pat on the back. That's amazing.
Thank you. that's hopefully what you say for college, in my opinion. It's exactly what you say. You don't, for the technology part, maybe you don't need to go to school to learn them. That's for sure. But school give you other skills and networking, and not everything I just listed I came up with. Definitely no. I learned some of that from my classmates too. It's a lot of trial and errors together and research together. That's definitely what academia brings to you. So yeah. Totally agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with, you know, academia, academics and college on the brain right now, is what advice would you give to other college students that you wish you had, and especially like has like a freshman or, you know, a first year graduate student? What's some things that you wish you had known that you would like to tell the listeners?
That's a great question. So one of my goals is to have publications, right? And I knew that before, years before, but I feel like I should have started a little earlier. So this year, I'm writing a book, actually, with for the audience. I'm writing it with Jackson John here and another author, yay, which is Gary. Yay. So watch out. A very interesting cybersecurity book coming. So yeah, anyway, so that was my sort of so far biggest writing. And close to around this time, I started to write more publishing. I want to put it more to conferences. And I want to have sort of like plan B, you know, in case my technical hands-on doesn't go well, plan A doesn't go well, then I can fall right back into academia path and continue with that. So publication would have helped me a lot. And I wish that I could have utilized all of my research papers in all of my classes much, much better if I could have write it a little, you know, more careful and more deep. I guess I could have published them earlier. So for the students who are freshmen, don't think of your research paper as like so tired. Why have to write? Doesn't make any sense. No, it helps you a lot. Definitely writing. First is reinforcing your knowledge. And second, it can help you to have publications. And it brings you to many places. It's not just, you know, a piece of papers. It gives you more chances, and it can prepare you for the future too. Who knows, maybe you want to go for PhD, right? And that definitely will help. So yeah. Take your classes serious.
I love what you were saying about your publication and your research papers. You know that I have a blog, and some of the papers that I actually, some of the blogs, I mean, are actually some of the data from my research paper for my graduate program. And it was because I was thinking, well, why reinvent the wheel? I've already done tons of research. I've already built, you know, a thesis. Why don't I just cut this up, reword it a little bit, and then create 500 word blogs? And now I have my own blog platform, and it's another way of branding yourself and putting yourself out there. Publications are a great way of doing it. So that's very smart. And I hope that any freshmen or even sophomores that are hearing this, or any high school kids that are getting ready to transition in, if you're thinking about wanting to get into this field, branding is important. And if there's a way to get into publication or just writing blogs, highly encourage it. Become an influencer. We need more individuals that are willing to step out and talk about what they learned, especially on the technical side, because it's an ever-changing threatscape that we live in the cybersecurity world. So Kim, oh my gosh, we could talk forever, and I absolutely adore you, and this has been amazing. I want to know, how can the listeners get a hold of you if they want to chat with you and reach out to you, or maybe even offer you a job? Wink, wink.
Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, best way is to reach out to me via LinkedIn, and they should be able to find my website in the description as well, which I'm building currently. And so my LinkedIn is Kim, like my first name and then my last name and then M. So it's Kim and M. And I guess they will get my name through the podcast as well. So they should be able to spell that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have it. We'll have all your information in the show notes, but keep an eye out when our book comes out in the fall. So we are really excited. We're working with Pack Publishing. Kim's going to be a published author. So will I. John is like a has-been. This is just his second book. No big deal. This is awesome. Thank you, Kim. Loved having you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Kim.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Hackers and HackZen podcast with Erica, Jax, and John. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.